Hey guys, welcome to episode 8 of Riotcast. I think this is episode 8. I actually don't remember. I should have checked. Yeah, I'm joined by my mom and my dad. And I want to give a shout out to my one listener in Iceland, which is crazy. Shout out to you.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Iceland.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I'm just going to go ahead and dive in and ask you a few questions. I don't have like a super structured interview. Now, my mom lived on the grounds after the fact of the cult. She wasn't a part of the cult, so she didn't sleep with Mr. Rajneesh or whatever. But the Rajneesh cult, right?
Yes.
In Oregon. She lived on the grounds of that after it was, you know...
1 year after they were evacuated by the federal government.
I thought it was a few years. Okay.
Yeah. No, 1 year after they were evacuated by the federal government.
And that sounds like a horror movie plot.
I know.
So, did you find anything weird there or anything?
I found some stuff, like, I guess, like, the whole time you were there, you had this really creepy feeling. But, you know, we explored and we found tunnels and we found, a crematorium where there were actual people bones in it, lots of them, and they said that when they would have their rituals, they would actually sit there until the last thing was burned, and so they left no remains, right? Because they have an incinerator, right? And so for the bones that were in there, they said that there were a lot of reporters that went in there to try to do reports, and they disappeared. And I haven't ever actually checked that out. I don't know if that's true or not. But
okay. Well, that makes sense. Sometimes people make stuff up, but like...
Yeah.
If you found bones, I don't know, man.
There's
that sounds
a lot
pretty...
of bones. Like, finger bones and like...
Dick bones.
Your grandma like would jumped in and was like touching him and I was like completely freaked out.
Yeah, no, that would creep me out a lot. I didn't know it was a year after. I thought it was a few years after.
Yeah, no. And then, the horse stalls had all the horses, skeletons in them. And, they had one bullet hole in their head. Like, it was pretty sad.
That's really crazy. Now, for people who are listening from not here, because we have a lot of listeners from, like, New York and stuff. Here in Oregon is pretty standard to grow up with, like, horses and stuff. So it's like, a horse is kind of like your dog.
Yeah.
So a dead horse is really upsetting, whereas, like, you know, a dead zebra to me is, like, what happened, you know? I don't live in
Africa. Yeah, or a dead deer, because we see them all the time on the highway.
That's a perfect example. That's better. so, yeah, no, so that's kind of messed up. I mean, the human bones would... I would probably have poop in my pants all the time.
We actually went to a chicken coop, and the floor was hollow, and your grandpa stomped on it and figured that out, and we lifted it up, and there were stairs down, and I'm not even lying, there was a actual room with, like, chains and handcuffs on them, hand ones and leg ones, and a bench. And the thing is, out there, it gets, like, up to 110, 120 in the summer, and you're underneath a chicken coop. So I can't imagine that was just there for play. You know what I mean? So I think that's pretty scary.
Well, unfortunately, I know what you mean, Mom, by play. And,
I didn't actually mean that. I just
okay.
They didn't just put it there for show, you know?
I was like, unfortunately, everyone knows.
Okay, let's just stop. You're my mom.
No, so, that's actually really scary.
Yeah, and there were tunnels, and we, like, crawled through them, and they had, the FBI actually sealed some shut that we really wished we could have went into. And
I think you're probably glad you didn't go into them. I think there's a reason they were sealed shut.
Yeah, they did manufacture, they were trying to cultivate, they had a science lab out there, and they were trying to cultivate the AIDS virus.
What?
To give the
Is this real?
No, I'm totally telling the truth. You can look it up. They tried to cultivate the AIDS virus to give everyone in the outer towns, which was my town, AIDS, so that they couldn't vote. And so when these...
Oh, they're the people who brought in people, like homeless people
in
buses.
Yes, and then dropped them off in the country.
The whole town.
Yeah. They poisoned your grandma, your grandpa.
That was the people who did the food bar thing,
yeah,
right? Because I was talking about that the other day, and someone was like, you're crazy. I'm like, no, I've heard this story.
No, it put so many people in the hospital that they had to turn people away and send people to go take care of them because families were literally so sick they could not take care of each other.
how it is. Go ahead.
So they were literally trying to take over the outerlying towns and take over Oregon. And they were actually, for a small group of people, they were doing a pretty good job. Anyway, the AIDS virus wouldn't progress fast enough for the whole voting thing to come up. So
yeah, don't you have to get like the blood of them on you or something?
Well, they were gonna. I don't know what they were gonna do with it, but they ended up using salmonella. They actually took and went. They heard that beavers would give people salmonella, so they literally went and caught a bunch of beavers, and this is all true. You can look it up. And they ground them up. They ground them up, and because the first night they went to put the beavers in the watershed and poison the town that way, so they get it in all the water, throughout the town. But there was a grate on the watershed, so they couldn't get the beavers in there. So then they took them home and killed them and ground them up in a blender and poured them in.
You know who makes those water grates? Your son. Are you proud
That's
now?
That's so cool. That's my boy.
I make the plastic like
Did
water
I mention
meters.
He's 5'0"? Yeah.
Well, not 5'0 like five police, man. But
5'0. Oh, no, not a cop. I wouldn't be
in
proud.
In boxing. No, I'm not a cop. But that's really crazy. I make the plastic ones, though. I just want to throw that out there. In case people didn't know what I did.
So you actually stopped them. And then they tried again. But
I stopped them like 20 years before I was born. Now, what year was this?
This was 1980.
88, 89, something like that.
And yeah. What's the documentary on Netflix called again?
It's actually their take on it, so it's not as good, but it's called Wild Country.
Okay. Because I remember I tried watching it, and I was a little bit bored, which is weird because like every time you've told me a story about it growing up and even now, I'm like so fascinated that
it was fascinating to me, but it actually kind of messed my head up a little bit and I couldn't sleep at night. So I had a dog and a gun. And
oh, if I had a single human bone, it doesn't matter if yeah. it's like a fucking and, quarter well, of a pinky the, toe, I'd
the,
freak out.
The thing like
she was literally living out there in a town.
Yeah, the thing I can't like really abandoned. Explain
it was
to
empty.
You.
It was empty. Yeah, an empty
a
town.
Whole town.
Yeah. So
a whole
like
town.
Imagine like all this empty and like just you there.
Yeah, so for my gamers out there, imagine like Far Cry 5, the one big town that's in there, but like completely empty. How creepy Absolutely. Would that fucking
Street
be?
Street lights and everything, like, yeah.
So, there you can hear my dog in the background, too. I love her. imagine, how old were you at the time? You were young.
I was 13, I think.
Oh, you were younger than young. So, imagine being home alone these days, like whatever age you are now. Now imagine that when you were 13, because when I was 13, I was scared of the dark.
Well, we had to call the cops to because some of them showed up when I was there one night, and it literally took the cops, because this is 24,000 acres they lived on. It's called the Big Muddy Ranch, and they literally came back, and the cops took like I think it was 3.5 hours to get there from the town.
Jesus.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, if you were out there, you know, I had guns, and the cop scolded me for having my gun, and he tried to get me to unload it, and it was a pistol, and I was underage, you know, but, like, I'm out in the middle of freaking nowhere with Rajneesh coming back.
And it's important to note that when you're underage, you can have a pistol in your possession, you just cannot purchase one. But it has to be open carry. I believe as long as you've done hunter safety, you can open carry in most states.
Have a pistol?
There's a few states where, like, I believe Montana is one of them because hunting's such a big deal and agriculture. We're the number one agriculture state, but hunting's such a big deal. I could be wrong. I'm gonna look this up after this podcast for sure. But I believe you can open carry a firearm even if it's a handgun after you've completed hunter safety. Which you can complete at age 12, but I don't think you definitely can't purchase or conceal a handgun. You can't conceal any weapon, but you can definitely not purchase or conceal a handgun until you're 21. Whereas with, I think you can open carry a pistol as young as possible.
In Montana, it's legal for a woman to carry a gun in her purse anytime. So I think, yep, and you don't have to have a concealed weapons permit. I think that that is the coolest law that was ever made.
That kind of is.
Yeah.
I don't
know how many times it's came in handy for me.
So Shai's taking a boxing class, but I want her to take jujitsu, and I want, you know, Shelby has that extra vertebrae in her tailbone, and I do too, but hers is worse. So because of that, doing jujitsu was extremely painful for her. But as far as, like, I'm a smaller guy, so as far as being a smaller guy or a girl goes, I think jujitsu is the most invaluable thing you can learn if you can't carry a firearm or if you're not willing to shoot someone with a firearm.
What do you mean invaluable?
Like, it's super valuable. Did I use the wrong term?
Yeah.
I'm a little high and drunk on this podcast, fellas. Right. I think that, you know, if someone's trying to, like, rape you or beat the shit out of you, they're going to take you down most of the time. Like, even on the playground, you see a kid take a kid down.
And you know what annoys me the most is when women, it's not annoying to me, it kind of scares me. Like, when women have knives and they're like, no, I've got this. I don't think anybody actually really thinks about what it takes to penetrate the...
Shai said that to me, actually, and she had a knife, and I said the same exact thing. I was like, I couldn't stab someone to death if I wanted to. It would mess with me too much.
Well, that and the actual strength it takes to penetrate...
is insane.
Yeah.
And people will say to you all the time...
You have to be enraged.
They'll say that, like, 3 inches of pressure is all it takes to crush the nose bone into their skull. Here's the issue with that. There is no nose bone. There's a little bone there. There's no such thing otherwise. So you're going to try and hit their nose bone, and they're probably going to fuck you up, you know? And, like, you see it in second grade playgrounds. You can still hear our dog. I don't know what she's doing. It sounds like she's running sprints.
She's having a good time.
She's getting in shape. Now, you see it on playgrounds even, where, like, the big kid tackles the little kid and punches him with his legs around him. And that's why jujitsu is so invaluable. Is that the guard in jujitsu? You've got several options from there, but the two most valuable being an armbar and a triangle choke. Now, a triangle choke is a blood choke, so you could have the toughest neck in the town, but I'm cutting off blood to your brain. So you're eventually going to pass out no matter what. Whereas a wind choke, like, you know, your basic headlock is going to, it might shut you off in like 5 minutes, if I'm lucky. But if it's not exactly right, you know, Aaron could just keep beating the shit out of me while I've got him in a headlock for 10 minutes if he wanted. And because I've got him in a headlock, I've got both arms there. So he's just punching me in the ribs, you know, and that's like basic bully shit. But like for women, jujitsu is super invaluable because in a triangle choke, no matter how strong your neck is, you could be a 300-pound man. And if I lock up a real triangle choke on your ass, you're going to go to sleep in a matter of seconds because blood is not going to your brain. And with an armbar, your arm's going to break.
In other words, you suggest that more women take jujitsu.
And if you're a smaller guy, like me, I think jujitsu is more valuable than striking. I just happen to prefer striking. Right. Whatever's fun for you is what you need to do, if you want to defend yourself. If it's not fun, you're not going to do it. It needs to be fun, and if you're great at it and you decide to compete, then it's more like a job. But if it's fun, keep doing it. And if it's not, you need to switch. But I would say if you're a smaller guy or a girl, jujitsu is more valuable because a rapist is going to try and take you to the ground. And then, you know, you're like they're trying to get between your legs. And you're like, oh, shit, this is my guard. Like, triangle choke, bitch. Like, you're out.
That would be so awesome.
I know. Yeah, they're like, oh, wow, she let me right between her legs. This is going to be an easy rape. And, like, all of a sudden you're unconscious. You wake up and, like, some chick has, like... the cops there, and you're like fucking broken nose.
Or she's
nosed,
got you all tied up in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, you're like, point is, you wake up fucked up and like you're gonna go to prison.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome, you know what I mean? Because like,
and you may or may not have balls left.
Again, a rapist's goal is to get between your legs.
Yep.
And so if that's your guard, you've got more submissions from there than like 90% of positions. So I've always thought that would be like so awesome. But if you're a smaller guy, it's the same thing. You know, a bigger guy, if you're out striking him, he's eventually going to take your ass down. And once he takes you down, you know, you either got good jujitsu or you're about to get ragdolled like he's the Hulk and you're fucking Loki for a minute there. All right, so now I'm actually going to move on to interviewing my dad. So We got Aaron Kodama here, and this is a fight podcast primarily, but not exclusively. So I want to do interviews on whatever the fuck I want, not, you know, just fighting, even though I'm gay for fighting. So this is my dad, Aaron Kodama, and he has actually boxed before. So this is still technically a fight podcast. You're welcome. So you did a fight night in Colorado?
Colorado. Amateur fight night. Yeah.
I mean, how many rounds did you have to do with each person? Like, what times was it?
It was two rounds each. It was 3 minutes each.
And damn, then, that's long. That's like pro rounds.
Yeah, but it was just two rounds, you know?
That's fair, but that's a lot still. But,
so you only had two chances. Like, I don't know, tend to, like, exhaust yourself in the first, you know, first round, because you're trying to get the guy down, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. The first fight,
And it's all unorthodox shit, man. It's like tough man contest fucking mixed with amateur fight night. You know, there's no kicking or whatever, but there's, you know, it's brawling. And so it's like, it's different.
So, if you live in a small town, like, imagine the amateur scene there. Like, it's kind of ghetto.
Right.
So, how many fights did you have to do?
I did 1, 2, 3 fights. Three fights.
And then so my fourth semifinalist.
Fight, my fourth fight, I was like, I was done. Because the guy was too big. And it was just, you know, I was done.
So, I actually say in my podcast, like, it doesn't matter if you're in shape or not. Like, unless you're a fighter, if I made you fight 3 1-minute rounds tomorrow, that's 1 fucking minute. Imagine how insignificant that is when you're halfway through your 8-hour shift.
Right, but that, you know, we had breaks, like, so we had, like, hour, 2-hour breaks in between everything, so. Because there's, like, people had to go, you know, other fights had to go on in order for qualifier, the winner of that fight goes on, the winner of this fight goes on.
Even though that was the case, you still had to fight multiple times in one night. If I took the average person who doesn't train in fighting, even if you've got good cardio because of the stress factor, if I made you fight 3 1-minute rounds tomorrow or tonight, depending on what time you're listening to this, you would be exhausted. You would not be able to fight another 3 1-minute round fight. So imagine...
It was hard.
So 6 minutes sounds easy as fuck on the surface. It's hard as fuck if you do 1 6-minute fight a night. Whereas he's doing, you know, he did 4 6-minute fights. And while it's only 2 rounds, and it sounds easy when you don't do it. No, it was
3-minute fights.
So. 3-minute fights, so it's more
three
than
3-minute rounds.
Yeah, but two so rounds,
so 6
right?
minutes, of, yeah, you're
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Though.
So
I'm pretty high, too. So.
Yeah, we're all high, and I'm also drunk. But
my buddy Dennis... he fucking went in there with me, and for like 6 months before that, we just started running to work and running home, running everywhere, running to the store, you know, like, I don't know. So we got run crazy, smoke a lot of weed, stop here and there, fucking smoke weed and run some more. But, I mean, that's about all the fucking real training we did to go fucking do amateur fight night.
But, I mean, you still made it to round 4. What I'm saying, though, is amazing about that is, like, for my first fight, I was running 4 miles a day, and I still got exhausted. And for my second fight, I was jump roping a shit ton of rounds. I still got exhausted, and the reason is because you're stressed out. Like, your body doesn't believe you're in a fist fight. So imagine fighting once in a night, and I'm saying if the average person fought 1-minute rounds in just one fight one night, they're going to be exhausted. You fought several fights, several rounds. You're more qualified than most people to talk
with
about
with lots fighting. Of breaks. In between.
The breaks really don't matter as much as people...
I don't know, I feel
you're
like...
You're being humble.
I guess. But, I mean, we were exhausted. Fuck, I couldn't go on for the fourth fight, dude. I didn't want to even try. Like, the guy was way too big, man. I'm like, oh, no.
So, what I was saying, though, was that if you fought once in one night and then had to fight even another minute... You would be compromised and exhausted, and he fought several fights, so I feel like he's very qualified to be on the fight end of this podcast.
Right, well, but like I said, I was telling him earlier that it was, you know, those guys have fought just as much as I did before we got to that point where I got to fight them. So, you know, it's like a whole day event, you know?
Well, so I'm sure both of you were exhausted, but the thing is like some fighters, you know, they only fight, like for me, for example, like I don't do tournaments. I've just done, you know, one fight one night. And so, but I've, you know, it's, imagine doing push-ups. You, if I told you to do 50 push-ups, and that might sound easy again, but if you're not trying to do it, it sounds easy.
Right.
You might do, let's say you do 25 push-ups the first time. You just did half the push-ups you need to do. But the second time you start up, after you stop from being exhausted, you're going to do like 10 and then 4.
Well, at least by 15, you're going to start feeling it. And then if you do another set of push-ups, by fucking 5, you're going to start feeling it. So it's like every time you do a round, you get weaker and weaker. So, yeah.
That was a better explanation of what I was trying to say. That's exactly it. And, like, if you are a fighter, it's kind of like your first round, you know, the people say last set, best set. But that's not true at all. It's your first round of sparring is your best round of sparring because you're not exhausted. And depending on the person you're going with, you're not as worried about conserving energy.
Right, so the only fresh fighter that I fought that night was my first fight.
Yeah.
So it was the qualifying fight, you know what I mean? And then the second guy I fought had already fought somebody else, and so on and so forth. And so it's like, yeah.
And one fight feels like working out till you can't move. So imagine doing that and then working out till you can't move an additional time and an additional time. By the time you get to that fourth round, I can only imagine the only thing going through your head is that you want to go home and go to bed.
There's a lot of bar dudes in there fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just want to join up because they want to fight.
How was your nerves pre-fight?
I'm terrible, man. I'm scared every time I fight.
I feel the same way, actually.
So every time I fight, I'm scared. And I don't... That's the only way I can explain it. I get scared, but I use it.
So it's important to note he's also from Hawaii, and like where I'm from, kids will tell you they're going to fight you and they don't fight you. But like in Hawaii, if someone like looks at you slightly fucking...
Or says that one word like that.
The worst thing you can tell a Hawaiian is what?
Yeah, they'll fight for saying what to another Hawaiian.
What?
That should prove that, you know, it's a tougher area, so...
What you looking at, bro?
But I can only imagine by the fourth fight, man, you were just exhausted. I'm sure you're still nervous.
Yeah, because fuck, man. But it was over, you know, by the fourth fight. But yeah, it was scary. But like I said, the other guy fought before too, so he's already beat up just like me. So it was like a little bit different going in the ring with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they already beat up. So like, you know, I mean, you feel like you got a chance. You feel like you're still spunky a little bit, you know?
See, for me, by the time the third round hits or something, there's like an adrenaline dump you get usually within one fight. So with that, like, I feel like my arms get heavy all of a sudden, and I have to pretend like it's not there if I want to continue, you know, at the pace I was going. And it, like, it kind of hurts. It feels weird. It's like when your foot just wakes up after you sat weird. So imagine doing that over the course of four fights.
I don't know. I guess I felt like, you know, I rested. My arms felt heavy and all that, but like the time between that you got to rest, you know, it was like, so you get to walk around and do whatever and smoke cigarettes and whatever, you know. Smoke some pot, fuck.
I think that's what.
Come back and you're like, okay.
That might be the only reason you were tired. Maybe running is the ultimate, like, training.
Running is good, man, because your lungs need to breathe. Bedroom is like vacation.
All right, guys, we're segueing. Yeah, what's your favorite thing to do again? Like, as a couple.
I don't know. What do we like to do? We like to travel.
We did like to fish, but then we were absolutely no good at it. And that was going to be like...
our thing, but...
yeah, after rehab.
But we kind of suck at fishing.
I was trying to like work towards a goal, and like fishing was going to be like one of them. And I am absolutely terrible at it.
She never catches anything.
Ever. And people can get bites right next to me, right and left, and like, I am Shelby's that horrible of a fisher. I know. Shelby actually felt bad for me once and handed
Shelby
me...
Shelby being my little sister.
Yeah, handed me her pole and she got a bite. She's That's like, so go, awesome. Go ahead, Mom, really
do. That's what you do for your kid.
You've been trying all day.
That's so sweet.
I know.
Yeah. That's messed up because that's what you do for your kid.
I know.
I remember the first time, like, I got a fish bite and, like, an adult didn't hand me the rod for it, you know? So that's funny. Yeah, my little sister has always been weirdly talented at fishing.
I think because she fished with May.
Yeah, May and her two best friends in the world are all native, so...
Like, native.
Like, ear to the ground, and they'll be able to tell you...
Like, caveman native.
Yeah, they'll be able to tell you, like, a Ford Focus is coming from, like, 90 miles east.
Right. It's good to have them around sometimes.
Like, when you're fishing.
What year is that car?
Or want to survive the winter.
How do you catch a fish?
Yeah. I'm eating, I don't know what I'm eating, guys. I've been stealing snacks.
They're all healthy, though.
Are they?
Mochi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess they're like dried peas and carrots.
And rice crackers.
Rice crackers. It's very good. If you were 90, I wouldn't recommend it. A little crunchy. If you're 85, fucking chomp on these things, bro. Good for you.
It's basically rice with soy sauce on it.
It's really good. It tastes like salty crackers with dried veggies that are also salty.
But I gotta take the peas out because they're super hard and they suck.
They are hard. They,
Yeah, he does pick the peas out and they're all over our room. Like.
It's okay. Nehemiah picks out anything that's not a raspberry.
Why do you continue giving him raspberries then?
I don't know, man. He eats them.
The mom gives him a fruit mix. So like,
yeah, she gives us food and she's like, please feed him what I ask you to feed him. Yeah. I'm like, I had to text her. I'm like, can he have chicken? She's like, hell yeah, but like, I have to text first because he had surgery, so he like has an artificial booty and stuff. I don't know if he's super into it because it's not, you know, anyone's business other than his and his mom's, but yeah, so I have to feed him super healthy. I had to text her to feed him chicken and stuff, so yeah, he'll like pick out only raspberries from his little food mix.
Well.
And then he'll complain about being hungry. He'll eat bananas and raspberries. Anything else, he's like, fuck you.
Well, he's a kid. He's picky.
Mm-hmm.
He's the cutest kid.
They're kind of spicy, aren't they?
Some of them.
No, a little spicy. No one told me that. That's okay. Whatever. I forgive you. My mouth only burns like the sun.
Well, they're not that bad.
No? It feels that bad. We don't remember where we were at because we're, mature adults. So anyone ticket anywhere. We're gonna wind this down from here.
Wind it down. Wind it down.
How do you guys feel about transgender penguins?
Transgender penguins?
Yeah, you haven't heard about that?
No, I ain't heard about that. That's probably because
I made it up.
Is that their choice, or is somebody doing it to them?
All right, I've got some serious questions. Okay. So I ask this question every single interview I do. So I'm going to ask each of you. Do you or have you ever eaten ass? Like, booty hole. I just need to know, Ma. I just need to know, Dad. I've asked it every interview, and I'm not going to stop.
Well, if you've eaten pussy,
that's
it's
different.
Pretty fucking unavoidable that you're going to eat some ass, too.
I've never eaten ass.
Yeah, you have.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Never asked. You know why? Yeah. I'm always worried I get like a dry poo flake in my mouth.
Just do it.
No, man.
You'll enjoy it.
You'll enjoy it. I don't think so.
Take a big old hit.
This is my son.
Shy takes the gross.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is kind of fucked up. Never mind.
I love the inhale. I love the inhale.
Next subject.
Yeah, no, I'm terrified of getting like a poof like right on my tongue.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Ma, you didn't answer.
I don't need to.
Oh, that's the funny thing about this.
Oh.
Yeah, well, have you ever or do you eat ass?
No, I don't.
You don't eat ass?
No.
No.
Not even a good night rim job.
Watch for that. It's not happening.
Oh my goodness. We went somewhere dark.
Okay, bring the light back.
All right.
Lightsabers.
All right. Next question. Ma, you can't answer this because I've told you this.
Okay.
Why did the space rock taste better than the earth rock?
Space rock better than the earth rock.
Because one was a little meteor.
Oh. Okay.
If that doesn't wind this shit down, I don't know what does. All right, you ready? All right, a slice of pie costs $2.50 in Jamaica, $2.50 in Jamaica, $3 in, I forgot the other place. Doesn't matter. These are the pirates in the Caribbean.
It kind of did matter.
I realized that as I continued. Okay, one more. We got to wind this down. Me and my wife watched 3 DVDs back to back last night. Fortunately, I was the one facing the TV. I know, this is so bad. Alright, I got one more that's not even half as good as that last one, just so I can end it on a bad one. What did the farmer say when he couldn't find his tractor? And I'm open to guesses on this one. 3 guesses each.
Damn.
Tractor. Where the hell's my tractor?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's actually the answer to that joke.
Right on.
What the fuck? No one's ever guessed it. They're like, I don't know. Like, immediately, they're like, I don't know. Tell me. And I'm like, where's my tractor? And they're like, God damn it. And that's what makes dad jokes fun. All right, guys. Thank you for doing my podcast.
Yeah, it was fun.
Was it fun?
It was fun.
All right. Now, Ma, how much money do you think it'd take for you to be gay for a year? You gotta like sail the Caribbean.
For a whole fucking year?
That would be like
I'm not gonna lie, 5 mil is my number.
25 mil? Like,
for a year?
Here's my thing. With 5 mil, Shy and I could both retire and live with twice the budget we have now.
You're going real low, man. 25 mil gay for a year? Fuck that. Is your asshole not worth fucking more than $5 million?
Well, no, here's my thing. It's $5 million. I can more than... So if I lived with twice the budget I have now and Shy and I both retired today, like today, we'd still have $1 million left in the bank when we died if we lived to 100.
And so what are the rules of this gayness for a year shit, though?
You know
what
I mean?
Are there rules? No rules?
It depends on who it is. Like, if it's Donald Trump because he's a billionaire, I'd be like, bro, you're either...
Is it like,
you're either catching or like another 10, no, another 5 mil,
what else
and you can pitch, but you have to wear a condom. But if you want to go like raw dog, it's going to be at least 50 million.
Well,
I need a Bugatti if you're, you know, getting real gay on me.
You know, and then what is there like BDSM and all that kind of shit in there, you know?
For 50 mil, I'll do whatever you want, you know? Really? I'm pretty much down. You want my pinky finger? Whatever. 50 mil, it's yours. Like, I don't need my pinky finger. Anything else, though? That's extra. That's like my extra. Kidney. My kidney's like at least a billion. I value my organs. I just don't value my butt virginity as much, I guess. If I could retire, it's gone.
Well, yeah.
What about you?
25 mil minimum.
That's respectable, but I'm being realistic. I'm a bargain babe.
Realistic? 8 million. At least.
Watch my podcast get shut down because of this episode right here, this segment. But I love it. I'm going to keep it. Man.
We're not being prejudiced against gay people. We're
saying. Yeah, if you're into that, fucking get butt pounded. But we're not into that. So I'm debating the amount of money it would take. Again, $5 million, Shy and I could retire, live with twice as much the budget we have now.
You know, it's basically an indecent proposal, you know, with a dude.
But the only real issue being is we don't know who the guy is. Because, like, if it's like Chris Pratt, you know, where he's like a movie guy.
It's like The Rock or something, man.
Yeah, it's The Rock.
Do you smell?
With The Rock is cooking. It's anal on you, so...
Or Brokeback Mountain. Have you ever seen the love scene in Brokeback Mountain?
No. Because I know I've heard what happens in Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. So my generation was like, yeah, let's not watch that.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, but...
So, yeah, but like, if it's like The Rock, because he makes, you know, $1 billion a year, I'd be like, it needs to be at least 25 mil. But if it's like Donald Trump, well, Donald Trump's a billionaire. It'd be a lot with him, too. But like, if it's someone who doesn't make as much money... They're like an unheard of millionaire. $5 million's a lot to them, and it's a lot to me. So,
I feel like The Rock would be gentle with you.
I don't think so.
I mean, he would be caressing and loving. Yeah, but I think he would be like
a fidget spinner. I don't want that.
You'd be nervous, and he would calm me down.
All right, Mom. Here's the question everyone needs to ask their moms. How much would it cost for you to go gay for a week, let's say? Like a long weekend. So from like Friday to Tuesday.
Have you actually seen like the lesbians on like the big mean ones?
The big mean ones?
That like...
Oh, these are meme ones?
No.
The manly ones.
And when you see like them on porn or anything, they're super rough. And I don't think... that I'm down.
I absolutely don't regret asking you that question. Okay, but like, hear me out. You could retire today and live super comfortably the rest of your life.
And live with the image of being brutally raped. Like,
we got paid, so it's not rape.
It was consensual.
You consented.
But that, tell your brain that. Like, you're
my brain would know. It'd be like,
you still go into shock over it. No, my brain would be like,
damn, we got raped. It'd be like, well, we also got a Bugatti. So, like, did anything really happen?
Ooh, yeah. I got land.
I've got a house for the rest of my
Never
life.
Never gonna get raped again. Yeah. You know?
I got a lot of guns.
And a Bugatti.
I'm living in a cave.
Yeah. I would let someone rape me for that much money.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the rape thing. It depends on how much money they have. Because if they're like a billionaire, I want a lot.
I watched a prison thing and women are like seriously way meaner than men.
They're way meaner than men.
Yeah, it's a known thing that women are, like, way brutal, more brutal than men are in prison.
Well, like, have you ever seen...
So, if I were to sign that $5,000 contract, $5
million... Million? Yeah, I was like, thousand? Jeez, Mom.
$5 million contract. I would need to know the stipulations behind it because, like, literally, if she was big and mean, I'm not down.
Well, you think about it. Who best to torture a woman would be another woman who knows all the parts that hurt. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That's a movie right there.
the parts that hurt.
Same thing.
Yeah.
A guy knows another guy because he knows the parts that hurt, man.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, you know.
Sharks only bite when you touch the private parts. So.
Right.
Wish I had a choose grape. You guys are going to talk for that, sorry. So obviously I ask the same questions regardless of who my interviewees are. Mom's price is apparently 5,000. Yours was like 25 mil. A respectable 25 mil.
I said no.
Mine was a reasonable.
I dropped it to 8 mil.
Oh, that's fair. Mine's a reasonable 5 mil. So if you're out there, you're $5,000. So, thank you guys for doing my podcast.
Thank you for selling me. I wouldn't.
I didn't sell you. You told me what you sell yourself
for. You just did. You're like, Aaron's, moms for sell for five
mil. I am, again, I'm a respectable five mil. Aaron's eight mil, a responsible eight mil, honestly. That's what you should demand. You got to value yourself to make someone else value you.
I said no.
No, you said $5,000.
No. Okay, we can go back through it. I did not say that.
You kind of did.
You're but like, I messed up
for $5,000? And I was
okay,
like,
well,
oh.
Well, change it. What is your price?
I don't want to do it, so I don't have a price.
Here's the issue. You're lying because... Imagine going to work every day. Imagine being like halfway through your shift and it feels like you've been there 12 hours every day.
Sometimes I like to go to work.
Yeah, that's like once every year.
Not really.
That's a Tuesday after they give me the Monday for New Year's off.
What if they're complete opposite of what you think and it's not rough and it's, you know, it's
I don't
gentle,
get right.
Like how The Rock was
yeah, what if it's like
me.
I don't think The Rock would be gentle,
I think
bro.
Would be nice.
I think it hurt. Especially if he's paying 8 mil.
No, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, it really depends.
It depends on how much money they have, because if they're a billionaire, I want
a
lot.
Yeah, because you will be wearing Depends in the end.
Well, yeah, they're going to pay for my plastic surgery on top. Now,
come on now. Plastic surgery.
They gotta pay for that too on top because they gotta fucking give me a plastic butthole after The Rock ruins me.
Alright, Rock, if you hear this, we're sorry. We're not saying that you're gay.
Don't like, rate my son, man.
I'm like your fourth and a half biggest fan. That's a real ratio. A real number.
And I feel you would be gentle.
I think you power dick it, so out of respect, you know, I'm not going to talk about how gentle of a lover you are. On that note, this has been this episode. Watch this get banned everywhere.
I apologize.
Oh, you guys don't have to apologize.
For whatever I've said.
I don't mean to offend any gay people or anything, but we ain't about that, so...
We love you all, and thank you.
If you're gay, imagine, like, what price would it cost you to go straight? I would like to hear that, actually.
Actually, yeah, that's you know.
Because it's the same
question.
Thing. It's the same thing.
That's
like, you don't.
Actually a really good question.
Yeah, it's not a choice. You don't want it, so.
So for next time, that's a good question.
Yeah, if anyone sends me that, it will be on the podcast. So, all right. Love you guys. Don't ban me. Bye.